What came first?
Wait a minute.
Music or the misery?
100 albums.
People worry about kids playing with guns or watching violent videos. Some sort of culture of violence will take them over.
One Vic Vaughn.
Did I listen to pop music because I was miserable? Or was I miserable because I listened to pop music?
It's Vic's Picks, Side B.
You're pulling quotes from High Fidelity, the movie?
He's brilliant. Your producer's awesome.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Tom, I love you.
All right, so that's the new theme here. All right, what's the new list?
All right, this is the 100 best albums of the 21st century, Nick.
Yeah.
According to The Guardian.
Okay, now here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to know a lot of this. I swear to you, I will not be able to chime in.
Which is why this is going to be so fun.
Because I'm going to be like, I don't know what that is. I have no idea what this is. I think I stopped listening to music like right around 2012.
And how old would you have been in 2012?
2012?
Because I read a study the other day that said most Americans, anyway, stop listening to new music at 35.
I was in my 40s.
Yeah, so you were close.
I probably had stopped. It's not a lot of new music.
So this is going to be a journey for both of us.
All right, well, let's begin. It's the top 100 of the 21st century. Here we go.
Yep.
What's number 100?
All right, number 100 is, let me take a big breath.
Yeah.
The Idler, this is the title. The Idler wheel is wiser than the driver of the screw, and whipping cords will serve you more than ropes will ever do, by Fiona Apple.
Mm-hmm.
That's titled from a poem that she wrote, or a portion from a poem she wrote. But this is her fourth and most recent studio album, although there's a follow-up in the works, and I'll touch on that. But The Idler Wheel was released in June of 2012 under the Epic and Clean Slate labels.
Okay.
And it was nominated for Best Alternative Album at the 55th Grammy Award Ceremony. It was very well received by music critics in 2012, from what I've read.
Mm-hmm.
Made it onto several end of year lists. You know, we love to do lists here. This made a lot of end of year lists. It topped three of those lists as best album of 2012. Time Magazine, Stereo Gum Spinner, and NPR Music's Fresh Air all said it was the number one album of 2012. And it made it into the top 10 best albums of 2012 on more than a half dozen other lists, including one by Rolling Stone magazine. But just 2 weeks or so ago, it was named number 34 on Billboard Magazine's Top 100 Greatest Albums of the Decade.
Mm.
And of course, it's number 100 on this list that we're going through now.
Yeah.
The
100. She's a really interesting artist.
Very.
Fiona Apple. I remember when this record came out. I think I'm familiar with maybe a couple songs, but I'm more familiar with the earlier stuff that she did.
I didn't know any of the songs on this one, and I, like you, was fascinated by Fiona Apple when she first came out. I remember... she was just very different. If you have a TV, you're going to know who Fiona Apple is. And so I knew who she was. Criminal, the song Criminal, obviously I knew.
No, I know.
And I think that's the only Fiona Apple song I know.
Well, the video is pretty notorious.
Right.
So, I was always a fan of Fiona Apple in the early days. I just never stayed up there with her. She dated one of my favorite filmmaker of all time. She dated Paul Thomas Anderson. And who made Magnolia, which is my favorite movie of all time. And it's dedicated to Fiona Apple.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. That movie was dedicated to
Fiona Apple.
Wow.
And his dad. His dad and Fiona Apple.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's I know that's your favorite.
It's
or
my
one
favorite
of
movie of all time.
I knew that. And and that movie, I know that movie well as well.
Yeah.
And I love that Tom Cruise. There's a Tom Cruise scene in that it just blows my mind every time I see it.
Yeah. All right. So what do we got?
Okay. Okay. Well, let's start it off with a little from the opening track, the Idler Wheel. Every single night, Tom's got some of it.
Okay.
And I just made a meal for us both to choke on. Every single night, it's a fight with my friend. I just wanna.
So, I know that song.
Do you?
I just didn't know the name of it. Yeah.
Okay, I never heard that song.
I
wrote some notes down, and I thought this was a very raw album filled with haunting piano ballads. Okay, and vocals. She screams at some points in this album, and at some other times she just seems to be singing from her chest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's. I thought about things like resentment, sadness, losing, like breakups, revenge.
She writes about that stuff a lot.
Yeah.
That's her MO, man. Okay. Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, then I'm right on the target then, because I felt like she was doing it through self-reflection. I didn't think she was writing about other people. She seemed to be writing about her own life, but, there's a lot to unpack in that song. I read a lot about, there's a lot written about that song by critics, but Jeremy Larson wrote an article in Time Magazine. He does a nice job of it, and he points out that the lyrics of Every Single Night, where Apple wrote, "My heart's made of parts of all that's around me, and that's why the devil just can't get around me," he theorizes that she's seeing herself as a machine made up of parts, and he connects that with the unabridged title of the album, The Idler Wheel.
Mm.
Because the idler wheel, it's if you look it up, or if you're a machinist, people out there, they're machinists or working, they already know what it is. But it's a wheel that drives other gears. I thought it was an interesting article. But track five is a song called "Left Alone," and I thought we'd play a little bit from that.
Okay.
I don't cry when I'm sad anymore. No. And all I do is beg to be left alone.
Yeah, that's a song about being destined for heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
And she writes, "How can I ask anyone to love me when all I do is ask to be left alone?" You can really hear the anger in her voice when you listen to that whole song. But and you can hear it in this next cut, too. It's from track 8 on the CD. It's called "Regret."
Do so. That comes from your mouth every time you address me.
So that's what I mean about this album. She's definitely like it's to me. It was an album that was a lot to bite off and chew.
Yeah.
Personally, like yeah. I wouldn't listen to this.
Now, Tom, where do you stand on this record? Do you know this record very well?
I know it fairly well. You know, singer songwriters are generally not always my bag because they can range from really profound and introspective to totally self-serving and self-involved. I think Fiona Apple is much farther in the former. She is an incredibly intelligent individual. And I've mentioned before that I'm not much of a lyrics person. I'm mostly into the instrumentation, but she forces you to listen to what she's saying. And it's incredibly effective.
Yeah.
I think that's a great review because, poetic, this album. And if anything, and like Tom said, this isn't an album that I will listen to, you know, very often.
Yeah.
But boy, do I respect what she wrote, in because the poetry is incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible writing.
Yeah, she's incredibly talented.
You can pick any section of any song on this album if you look at the lyrics, and it's incredible writing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was there one more cut that you wanted to play a piece of?
Yeah, we can play one more cut. Tom, you got a little from track 10, "Hot Knife."
He excites me. Must be like the Genesis rhythm. I get feisty whenever I'm with him. If I'm butter, if I'm butter, if I'm butter, then he's a hot knife. He makes my heart a cinema Skowski. Show me the dancing bird of paradise.
This song is kind of cool to me because it sounds like it's just her and her drummer. His last name's Drayton. I can't remember his first name, but I think it might just be her and her drummer doing that song.
Yeah.
But, you know, but the bass drum line. But other than that, I it sounds like Apple singing lead and a loop of her voice just singing backup, too. It's just her and her drummer, I think.
Yeah.
But it's, right. Yeah.
So overall, did you enjoy the record?
I enjoyed the record. And yeah. Like Tom said, you can't really, I mean, the poetry in this album is just alone. Just the poetry is mm-hmm. Is something to be reckoned with. So I really respect what Fiona Apple did with this album.
Okay.
And she's got another one. She just did an interview with New York Magazine recently, within a couple of weeks. And she said that she may be ready to release a follow-up to this album, which was in 2012.
Right.
She may be ready to release a new album in just a few months, early 2020. So,
all right.
There you go.
All right, that's the first of Vic's picks on his new list, The Best of the 21st Century from The Guardian. And we'll jump back into it after we take a break.
Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither while they pass, they slip away. Across the universe, pools of sorrow, waves of joy.
Now, that's Fiona Apple covering the Beatles.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, Across the Universe. Great song. And it's a beautiful version of that song. By the way, the news is next with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right. So we're back, and Vic is doing his picks, continuing his musical journey, and he's getting closer and closer to this day and age. Well, you're here now. It's the best, the Guardian's choice for the best of the 21st century. And again, as we move along on this list and do this every week, Vic's picks, I'm going to be probably clueless for most of the time. So what's your next choice here?
Okay. Let me turn this mic on. Okay. So we're going to go with, my iPad's not working. Tom, help me out here. We're going to go with Rihanna.
It's 99, number 99.
Yeah.
And it's Anti by Rihanna.
Yeah. That's correct.
So Rihanna.
Okay, Rihanna, yeah, number 99, Anti, right. Okay, so the album, it was released about 3 years ago, late January of 2016 through Westbury and Rock Nation. Forbes and BET both began citing chart data a couple days ago in reporting that this album, Anti, has become the first album by a black female artist to spend 200 weeks on the Billboard 200.
Wow.
Yeah. It was made available for digital download first through Tidal, which was another interesting thing because off that last list we went through, I was using Discogs website a lot to get information and learn about it. And this, there's...
Yeah, there is no... Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. Welcome to the 21st century, Vic.
Thank you, Tom. He came up with this list. But through Tidal first, then through online music stores. She started planning it in 2014 after leaving Def Jam, which is... she's from Barbados. She came to the U.S. when she signed with Def Jam. But she left Def Jam in 2014. She began planning this. And then she recorded it in a half dozen studios. So I won't name them all, but they were in New York City, Los Angeles, Santa Monica, Paris, and Toronto. And more than a dozen producers had a hand in finding the right sound for the Anti album. They ended up with from what I read, mostly pop, hip-hop, soul, R&B album. Mm-hmm. That's what this is. She'd primarily done dance and club albums before this album, Anti. Although some of the songs on this album did very well on the dance club charts as well. But the first cut, Anti was promoted with four singles. So here's one of them, the album's lead single, track four, song called Work, featuring Drake, Canadian rapper. And Tom's got a little bit of that.
Yeah, okay. You need to get done at work, come over. We just need to slow the motion. Don't get out of the way to no one. Long distance, I need you. When I see potential, I just gotta see it through. If you had a twin, I would still choose you. I don't wanna rush into it if it's too soon, but I know you need to get done.
I know that song.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That
not crazy about it, but I know it.
There may have been some of it you didn't understand, because part of it's in Patois, the Jamaican language.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to understand patois, believe it or not. I never could speak it, but I lived in the Caribbean for 4 years, and I had through that time I had some live-in maids who two of them were from Jamaica, and they taught me patois. I couldn't speak it, but I could understand them. This was nominated, though, that song, at the 59th Grammys for Best Pop Duo Group Performance. Mm-hmm. It's considered a dance hall song, kind of a throwback to her earlier albums, which, again, were mainly dance and club songs. But as far as the studio work goes, Rihanna recorded her vocals at the Westlake Recording Studios in Los Angeles. Drake's were recorded at the Sandra Gill Studios in California and the Soda Studios in Toronto. And it was all mixed together at the Larrabee Studios in L.A. The second song, this next one, I personally liked it a lot, Nick. Mm-hmm. It's called Desperado. It's track 5. Tom?
Desperado. Sitting in a old Monte Carlo. A man as hot as hollow. Take it easy. I'm not trying to go against it. Actually, I'm going with you. Gotta get up out of here and you will leave. Me, I know you won't, cause we share common interest. You need me, there ain't only.
That one was recorded also at the Westlake Beverly Recording Studios in L.A. Reached number one on the U.S. Dance Club charts after 11 weeks. The third cut that I wanted to play will go to track 10. It's called Never Ending. It's acoustic. Now, this is where it's a ballad. It's definitely a shifting of the gears on this album when you get to the last four tracks that you can, if you listen to the whole album, when you get to track 10, there's something that changes, and that was on purpose, and the last four songs sound like throwbacks or retro songs. I personally thought she sang and harmonized beautifully on this track, so I wanted to play a little. It's called Never Ending. Tom's got some.
Boston, the mirror. I knew your face once, but now it's unclear.
And we'll
I know that song.
Do you really? Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll also say it's got a chord progression to another popular song by Nora Jones.
Okay, that's not the one I was thinking of, but it sounded similar. It sounded like something else to me. Okay.
Yeah. Which was sampled on Eminem's Stan.
Oh.
It uses the same chord progression. You can hear that.
It reminded me of a song, but I couldn't figure out which one. But we're running out of time. We'll wrap it up real quickly with track 11. It's called Love on the Brain. Again, continuing that shifting of the gears in these last four tracks. Love on the Brain is the final single that was released from this album. And we can't play the entire song, but if we did, you'd also hear a shift happen within the song, because she starts singing really soft and sweet, and then it really just changes. But Tom's got some of this one.
Baby, you got me like. Just to get close to you, quit burning something.
Yeah.
So there it is.
Yeah.
There it is. What'd you think overall, real quick? What'd you think of the album?
Desperado was my favorite song out of both albums. And I think I like both albums equally. They're not albums that I'm personally going to play a lot, but I think I respect both. I love the poetry that Fiona Apple implemented into her album, and Rihanna is just she's got some beautiful vocal range, and I enjoyed it. So
I
wouldn't listen to these. I don't think I'll listen to these much. However, I do. There's something about Desperado I love.
Okay. Tom, where do you stand on Rihanna?
I mean, I was a little bit more of a fan of the earlier stuff when she was very island influenced, like straight off the boat from Barbados. I still think, and it may come up later on this list, Good Girl Gone Bad, like Redux or whatever, was like the soundtrack to a lot of my school dances. So she's got, I don't listen to her a ton, but I've always appreciated her craftsmanship.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, Vic, thanks, man.
Thank you,
sir. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good.
Going through the music of the 21st century. with Vic Vaughn.